Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to church. So good to have you here. Hey, thanks for coming tonight. This is quite amazing. We want to thank all of those diehards who are here every Sunday night. Thank you. And now look around you. You've been joined by throngs of others, which is so exciting. So thank you for those who have moved up from the morning service and to this evening service. We really appreciate that. It was oddly encouraging this morning at our 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock, where our numbers were a little less than normal. Oddly encouraging. But as we encourage our morning services today, look around and see those empty seats as we can tonight, and know that we have room to be a people of invitation, that we can invite others, and that there is room. And so when we say all are welcome here, we've got room for all those who are welcome. So thanks for doing that. Little treat for you tonight, the fruit. I hope you enjoyed it. It was just a little reward for helping us out. So good. Don't know if you're going to be expecting it next week, but anyway, we'll work on that. So anyway, glad that you're here. Well, this is a double header, the second part of a double header, which is all about life in the Spirit. So we've taken kind of a two-pronged approach to our topic. The first was last week when Leanne spoke about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that moment when the Holy Spirit enters us, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so tonight, what I'm going to speak about is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a second and subsequent experience to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at our salvation. So if you didn't understand what I just said, let's hope by the end of this message you will. That's really the intent of tonight. You know, as Leanne spoke last week about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, she reminded us of the beautiful character and nature of the Holy Spirit. A member of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's gentle. Jesus calls him our counselor. And the Word of God says that we can count on him for wisdom and for direction. Leanne also reminded us that in the Holy Spirit, there is an incredible resource available for us in terms of his power, which comes from the same power source that raised Jesus Christ from the grave. Pretty incredible stuff, really. So Leanne concluded last Sunday by giving us an assignment. She always seems to give us homework. And if you were here, you'll remember that what she wanted us to do was first consider that when it comes to our own understanding of the Holy Spirit, she wanted us to ask the question, who packed our bags? What kind of understanding do we have of the Holy Spirit, and where did that come from? In other words, have we set preconditions on what we are prepared to believe, or even to what degree we are prepared to engage with the Holy Spirit? And the second thing Leanne asked us to do last week was to consider taking another step, and consider setting aside maybe some of those preconditions, and to come prepared to look at the Spirit through fresh eyes, through fresh eyes. And that could be quite a challenge for some of us, where we've had perhaps awkward or difficult experiences, to set those things aside and be ready for something that is just fresh. And so I hope that your hearts are that way tonight, that you're just ready for a fresh experience with the Holy Spirit. And just even in this wonderful bubble that we have tonight, just set aside maybe some past preconceived notions and just allow yourself to hear the Scripture. Let the Scripture speak truth. And always be prepared, always, as we say, to ask questions and to investigate. This is really about a journey. It's about opening ourselves up and seeing and finding what God has for us, because we absolutely believe that there is more. I think that when Leanne asked us that question, it also recognizes the fact that our community here at Living Waters is made up of a variety of faith expressions in Christianity, expressions and different kinds of experiences, and there is a great wealth in all of that. There really is. And I know that there are many tonight who are here who have an understanding of the Holy Spirit and what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I also know that there are many others in our community who are not so sure. like the writer of the email that Leanne shared last week, which I thought was so powerful. And in the email, the person was saying they just have a lack of understanding of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit and a desire for more, but just not too sure what all of that means. And so tonight, I'm going to take on that assignment as best I can. And that is to try to explain what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. What did Paul mean when he said in Ephesians 5:8, be filled with the Holy Spirit? So that's the trajectory that we're going to be taking tonight. So let's begin with Jesus and his own baptism in the Holy Spirit. The event is recorded in Luke chapter 3. So if you've got your Bibles, open them up, go to Luke chapter 3. We're going to be flipping throughout the Bible tonight. It is going to be up on the screen, but if you've got your Bible, you can probably make some notes, or your phone, you can tap in some notes there. But if you can follow along in Scripture, that would be awesome. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 3. And so at that time, John the Baptist is baptizing in the Jordan River. And I love these passages. There's so much about challenge and change in them. And Jesus is baptized in water by John, and then he is baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Luke chapter 3, verse 21. One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." It's at this moment that Jesus is empowered in his human form by the Holy Spirit for the 3 years of ministry that we're about to follow. Remember that as he began his time on earth, Jesus gave up his right as God to become man. And so from this baptism of the Holy Spirit came his empowerment for all the miracles that we read about. His empowerment for teaching. His empowerment to take on the cross and defeat death through his resurrection. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit, his baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so then if we fast forward 3 years to the point where Jesus has been to the cross and he's risen again and he's about to ascend now into heaven. You can turn to Acts chapter 1. And it's there, he says, he tells the disciples that they too should wait for their own baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 5. This is what Jesus said. "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And so from there, those who waited in that upper room in Jerusalem that we read about in Acts chapter 2, remember this, they were now already believers in Jesus, including the disciples. Many of them had been with him already for 3 years of his teaching, and they had experienced many amazing things. They had been with Jesus for 3 years, many of them for 3 years. They knew him well, and yet, after all of that, being in that wonderful place of learning and education and teaching from Jesus, and yet Jesus was saying there was more, that there was more. And he said they were to wait for it, and they were to pray for it, and they were to anticipate. So this is important in our understanding to remember. Their spirit baptism, the believers, would be subsequent to their belief in Jesus. It's important for us now as we consider this a day of Pentecost recorded in Acts chapter 2 and how that pattern of belief and then the subsequent infilling relates to us as believers today. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 2 and we'll begin at verse 2. On the day of Pentecost, all of the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. This is an amazing moment in world history
This is absolutely significant. It has worldwide implications. As God comes in a consuming power to that house, and he touched those who were anticipating something more. He touched them powerfully. In fact, this day was this introduction of a brand new era on planet Earth, a time when God launched his plan of redemption through the empowered church. So as he baptized the believers with his Holy Spirit, the word says that individual tongues of fire landed on each one as they were filled. And this presents this wonderfully strong picture of God's individual attention for each one and his plan for each of us who would believe and receive. It really is an amazing picture. So not surprisingly, this new era was announced loudly and boldly. And it caught the attention of thousands who happened to be gathered in Jerusalem that day for the Festival of the Harvest, Pentecost. In fact, this noise had hundreds, literally hundreds of people running to hear and to see what it was all about. And as if this noise wasn't enough, when they arrived, they heard the disciples of Jesus speaking in the languages of their own countries. It was absolutely amazing. And absolutely impossible, except at the hand of a sovereign God. Well, in the midst of the unexplainable, some who came running said that the believers had to be drunk. That was their explanation. But then the lone and newly empowered voice of an inner circle disciple sets the record straight. It's Peter. A simple and often frustrating fisherman who just a few weeks before had denied Jesus not once but three times. But now he stands out in front of literally thousands and he declares the truth boldly with this new authority that is on him. "We're not drunk," he says, "but incredibly changed by the Spirit of God." And by this time, you know, the crowd had just swelled to thousands. And as they listen to Peter, this empowered Peter, he presents scriptures that are familiar to them, things that would ring a bell for them, that would not only explain that day's occurrences, what was happening on that day of Pentecost, but that explanation also helps us find a deeper understanding of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit and why it is for us. Turn to Acts chapter 2 and look at verse 16. Peter says this, "No, what you see here was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel." Now, listen to these words of Joel. Starting at verse 17. "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Well, you know, it's easier for us in our modern day context to look at this event some 2,000 years ago and to see the work of the disciples and what happened to them and the fact that they moved to apostles and just to kind of relegate their experience to them and to their time. But a closer study of Scripture, and in particular these words of Joel that we've just looked at, should lead us to another conclusion. And that is simply this: the pouring out of God's Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised, this outpouring and the gifts of the Spirit, including the prophetic, were not just for that day, but they are for today as well. They are for today as well. Look again carefully at what Joel said in verse 17. "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men, like me, will dream dreams." So by definition, the last days began when Jesus came to live amongst us. And they won't end until he comes again, by definition. And so that means that the last days are not yet done. And that means, according to Joel's prophecy, that God continues to pour out his Spirit on all people today, including you and me. And to underscore the point, the prophet made it clear that the pouring out of God's Spirit will go beyond the first generation of believers to those that would follow, when he said, your sons and your daughters would prophesy. So this was not limited to a single generation, but generations that would follow. And finally, Joel made it clear that this pouring out of God's Spirit was not restricted to just a few, but would be made available to men and to women and to the young and to the old. It was for all. It was for all who would believe. Then, at that day, and in the future, at least until Jesus comes. So, if you're still with me, let me just summarize with three quick points. Number one, important points, for things for us to understand. Number one, Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Number two, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts, came at a time subsequent to the disciples' belief in Jesus. They were already believers. It was about more. And third, the pouring out of God's Spirit is for all, and it is not restricted just to a few. It's not just restricted to the apostles, but it is available to all of us until Jesus returns. Now, I know that some traditions struggle with the concept of a second baptism, believing instead that we are indwelt by the Spirit at salvation and it ends there. However, Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, sees it differently. And he records clear instances when the baptism of the Holy Spirit was in addition to and subsequent to the indwelling at salvation. You see, based on his writings, he would concur that there is something more. And based on Joel's prophetic word, which Luke repeated in his gospel, that something more is for you and it is for me. I'm going to take a quick look at two narratives from Acts tonight that provide a clear picture of both the availability of the baptism of the Holy Spirit to all believers and the fact that it comes after the indwelling of the Spirit. Let's look to Scripture and see what Scripture says. So, turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And here we find that the believers in Jesus have been scattered throughout the area. There's just been this wave of persecution. And in actual fact, it has allowed this gospel, the gospel of the good news, to be shared throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. It really is quite a story. Amazing in God's design. So in verse 4, there is this amazing story that begins to unfold, and it is about the apostle Philip, who was a part of the scattering to Samaria. Now, Philip is a committed follower of Jesus Christ. He is filled with the Spirit. And under the anointing of the Spirit, he preaches the good news in Samaria to the Gentiles. Incredible things begin to happen. The Gentiles begin to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so there's healing that's happening, and people are being saved left, right, and center. It's an amazing story. Well, word of these Samaritan salvations gets back to the head office of the apostles in Jerusalem. And they're amazed at these reports. They just are amazed at them. Gentiles being saved. This is incredible. And so, you know, they wondered about that. And so they sent Peter and John to check it out. They sent them to kind of investigate things. And so they arrive. And they find out that the people are indeed getting saved and being baptized in water. But they have yet to be, they discover, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so what happens is that Peter and John lay hands on them. And let's pick it up at Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 15. As soon as they arrived, that's Peter and John, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. So two things surface here in these writings of Luke. The receiving of the baptism of the Holy Spirit came as a distinct experience after the Samaritans are saved and indwelt by the Spirit. And second, the pouring out of the Spirit, as Joel said, is for all people. Now remember, these were Gentiles. They weren't Jews, and none of them were in that upper room on the day of Pentecost. It's for all people. So let's take a look at a second account, and that this one is in Acts chapter 10. And it's about Cornelius, who is a Roman army officer, and he's a Gentile. And he is described as a God-fearing man who was generous and one who prayed often. And so what happens is that an angel comes and he visits Cornelius and he tells him to invite the apostle Peter to his home, which he does. And roughly about the same time, God shows Peter a vision of equality between Jew and Gentile. Well, to make a long story short, Peter travels to the home of Cornelius and he shares the good news. He shares the gospel of Jesus with an entire household. And this is kind of cool. Because he's sharing the story, and then about mid-sentence, something very strange happens. Acts chapter 10, starting at verse 44. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, "Can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did?" So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And afterward, Cornelius asked him to stay with him for several days. So again, the baptism of the Holy Spirit has come afterward, subsequent, albeit on the heels of their salvation. And again, it wasn't restricted to just a few. And interestingly, we can see that Peter equates the Caesarean. Did I say that right? This morning I talked about the birth thing that happens. I should just not even use that word. You know, the Caesarean experience. That would be a very interesting picture, I think. So what he does is he equates their experience with what happened to the apostles and those who were gathered in the upper room. And so what he's saying is that their experience isn't less. It is the same kind of experience that they had. And that's incredibly important for us to know. This was a powerful experience for all. And in this case, it fell on ordinary believers, Gentiles, like you and like me. Some powerful news in this for us. We also learn here that when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, sometimes that can happen right at salvation. It can happen immediately. And sometimes it's a longer time after that. There are no rules. There are no rules. It's powerful stuff for us. Well, we see in this passage that one of the ways that Peter knew that this household had been filled with the Spirit was because he heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So let's talk a little bit about tongues or spiritual language. In fact, what happens here, there is a scriptural pattern that begins to emerge that shows a speaking in tongues or spiritual language comes as an evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We see it in this account at Cornelius' household, and again, we see it in Acts chapter 19. So, flip in your Bible to Acts chapter 19. And this time, it is when the apostle Paul is ministering to the people in Ephesus. And there, what happens is he meets a number of people who've heard of the work of John the Baptist, but they've not heard the complete story of Jesus. And so, what Paul does is he shares the gospel with them. And this is what happens. Acts chapter 19, verse 5. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. They were about 12 men in all. So again, we can see that Spirit baptism clearly follows conversion and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then, again, as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what's happening is that they're speaking in tongues. It just happens. And so then, if we believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for us today, it follows normatively and scripturally that we can anticipate tongues to follow, as it did for the Ephesians. Now, I understand that the concept of tongues is a little hard for some to understand. And is really, perhaps for you, a foreign concept, depending on what tradition that you come from or how your bags were packed. It can seem a little odd, actually. And some of you may have had or heard of others who've had negative experiences with this kind of thing. And it just seems a bit weird. But I can assure you that it has been a part of the charismatic Pentecostal experience in one context or another for centuries. And today, spiritual language is spoken by millions of Spirit-filled believers all over the world. By millions. Linda and I speak in tongues. We use our spiritual language often. Our entire team does here, as does our leadership. Many of you who are in this room today, you speak in tongues. You have this gift of this spiritual language. It is amazing. And I fear, frankly, that sometimes we toss this experience out because we feel that there are rules. We may be open to something like this, but there just tends to be rules and regulations about how it's to look and when and all of this sort of stuff. I just want to say to you that when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit and God gets a hold of our heart and our spirit in that way, something's going to happen. And the scripture says that we can anticipate that we will receive the spiritual language, that we'll speak in tongues. So let's not get all caught up in rules. Let's just say, let us be open to the experience. Let us be open to the experience. Now, before I go too far, maybe some of you are wondering exactly what tongues are. Like, what is that all about? Well, tongues are simply a language that is given to a person by the Holy Spirit that is understandable only to the Spirit. So when you're speaking in your spiritual language, you don't understand either. But the cool thing is that God does. And it gives us this opportunity through tongues, spiritual language, to pray in the Spirit, to express deep thoughts that just defy sometimes our own human language. The deep longings of our spirit, the deepest parts. Somehow in spiritual language, we can just make this expression before God. And it is powerful and it's intimate. And it's this incredible exchange with the Spirit. It's good for us too. Paul says himself in Scripture that the person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. And of course, why not? When we're using this language that God gives us and we're expressing ourselves, there's something that happens on the inside. Now, you need to know that speaking in tongues is a private prayer or praise language unless it's expressed through the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues for the edification or the encouragement of the church, of the body of Christ. And if that happens, in that case, it requires interpretation, which is another gift of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, he lays out some very clear guidelines for the use of tongues in the public setting in 1 Corinthians 14. And I encourage you to take a read through that. In fact, at the end of tonight, if I don't remind you, it's because I'm getting older and I've forgotten. But I've developed a list of passages for you to read in Scripture, and this one is listed there as well, just to help you in terms of some of the areas that we're going through. But a great thing for you to read. Look, the bottom line is this. The bottom line is this, that tongue spiritual language is anything but weird. It's just not weird. It's actually quite normative, and it is beautiful, and it can be a joy, and it is available to every believer. You know, this is just an interesting thought I had. You know, this, the baptism of the Holy Spirit really does mean that we need to submit ourselves to God, and sometimes we have a hard time doing that, just to submit ourselves to God and say, oh God, come, fill me. I desire more. I need more in my life. And there's a submission that comes with that, just to let go of all that stuff that we have and just allow God to come in. And it's interesting when it comes to our spiritual language that we also have to submit our tongue. And that is really hard to do. It really is. And when I say we're going to submit our tongue, it's just to say, God, I give you the use of this. I'm not taking control of it. I'm just going to give it to you. And I'm not telling you that it's always easy for everybody, because sometimes it is a struggle. It is a struggle. But as we submit to the Lord, amazing things can happen through our spiritual language. So after all of this, a fair question is why. Why? If the Spirit indwells us at salvation, why would Jesus set us up for a second experience? Like, what? Why? Well, you know, I've been thinking long and hard about that and how I would answer that question. And I think the best grid from which to answer the question comes from our own lives. Particularly that place where, as believers, we sense that there must be something more. Have you ever felt that? That place in your spirit. You go, I'm a believer in Jesus, but there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more. I think particularly of those who are believers who are in that place, even in their belief, where they feel overwhelmed with stuff or ill-equipped to handle what is in front of them. Or perhaps they're dry in their spirit and feel distant from God. They just desire, they need something more. Places where even as indwelt believers, we sense a lack of power to move forward in the things that God has called us to. That place that Leanne said last week was like, when we reach that place that we're not enough. That we are not enough. It's an amazing place to be in touch with God at that point through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Our baptism in the Holy Spirit, it draws us into a deeper relationship with Jesus as we respond in opening ourselves up fully to the work of His Holy Spirit. What happens is spiritual gifts are powerfully and freely exercised. And as He pours into us in abundance, because He is an abundant God, we just cannot help but be drawn closer to Him. And it helps us deal with some of that stuff that we're running through our grid. And Scripture also makes it clear that even after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and many of you have been in that place, we are invited, in fact, we're encouraged to continually open ourselves up before the Lord and seek a refilling of that Holy Spirit. You know, we think of being baptized in the Holy Spirit as a single event, but actually it's an ongoing event. It's something that we need to do before the Lord always and just ask God, oh, refill me, Lord. Refill me. In fact, when Paul says in Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit, the tense is present. And so it means it's continuing. It's a continuing piece for us. As He pours in and we pour out, Jesus' desire is to keep us at abundant Spirit-filled levels. He just wants to keep us full and overflowing. That's His desire for us. And as He fills us, we are drawn to deeper places of faith, reliance on Him for things every day. We have this deeper and sure knowledge of His presence and His supernatural power. It's a supernatural power, which is more than we could ever muster up in ourselves. And so with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are better equipped not only for navigating our lives here on earth, living day to day, but importantly, we are equipped for the mission that Jesus has called us to, each one of us. And this is what He said in Acts chapter 1. So flip back, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. See, this empowerment of the Holy Spirit is not just to draw us closer to Jesus, and that will certainly happen, but it is for the mission that each of us have been assigned, each one of us as believers. Have you ever wondered what Jesus meant in John 14, 12, when He said, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. You know, I used to look at that passage and wonder, what is He saying? Greater works? But I think this is this picture of the Spirit-empowered church, the body of believers, which after the day of Pentecost, step out in faith and reach a lost world with the best news it could ever hear. This is about the empowerment of His church. And we saw evidence of that when Peter spoke to those thousands and he was empowered. This fisherman, this guy that had been such a failure at times in his life, but now he's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that as he spoke that day, 3,000 people came to Christ. 3,000. This is Peter the fisherman. This is Peter the fisherman who's empowered by the Holy Spirit. So how, you may ask, do I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Maybe you're in that place and you're in a place of wondering. Well, let me just give you a list of a few things. First, understand that if you are a believer, it is for you. If you are a believer, it is for you. Second, know that it is and was in the New Testament church a powerful and normative experience. This is not some weird, odd thing. This is just part of a normal, spiritual, life in the Spirit kind of experience for all of us. It was meant for all. It's absolutely a normal thing. Third, remember, while the Holy Spirit desires to fill you, He is gentle and He never forces His way in. Some people are afraid to submit. They just go like, I don't know what's going to happen. If I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me, I don't know what's going to happen. And you know, I understand that fear sometimes is based on past experiences or things that you've heard. But listen, God is gentle, and He's only got His best for you. And why in the world would we worry about what He would do in us through His Holy Spirit? It is called a gift. It's a gift that God has for us. So remember, He's gentle. He never forces His way in. He never does that. So we just need to be open. That's what we need to do, and then He'll take care of the rest. But we just need to know He never forces His way in. And fourth, we need to anticipate in faith, just as the disciples did. Remember, they prayed and they waited and they anticipated because Jesus said there was going to be something more. They believed Him. So they prayed and they anticipated and they waited. And fifth, as I was saying earlier, we need to understand that this is about submission. It's about setting aside our own way of thinking, preconceived notions, all that stuff maybe that we've packed up, the fears and the wonderings. It's setting that aside and knowing that the Lord has got just good things for His people. That when we desire more, there's something on the inside that God wants to meet in us. He wants to fill us with His Spirit and allow us to live life in a way that He calls us to. Sandy Gagne is here, and I've asked Sandy if she would just share with us her experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes the best way for us to learn is from each other, and story is always an awesome way. So Sandy, why don't you come up and do that?
So when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was away at a weekend conference that was put on by my church. And the purpose of it was for spiritual growth just in general. But the last session was about the Holy Spirit, and it was expected that there would be a time for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I was anxious about the last session all weekend long. Because my preconceived ideas about it were that we were going to be slain in the Spirit or laughing uncontrollably. I knew my faith, and I didn't need to experience things like that to have greater intimacy with God. But over the course of the weekend, God softened my heart, and He reminded me of who He is and that He has great things for me. He reminded me that I need to trust Him. And during the session on the Holy Spirit, I approached the idea with trepidation and cautiously held up my hands, praying hard that something would happen, but with fear of how that would be expressed. I realized that I wanted to be filled with the Spirit because I wanted to feel the fullness of what God had for me. He had been revealing to me that this was a gift from Him that increased intimacy with Him. So I held out my hands and people prayed over me, and I felt a tender warmth flow over me and words forming on my lips that were foreign. It was such a precious time and I had such joy. My relationship with God was brought to a new level in the same way a friendship just grows in depth as you learn to trust each other more. My life became more open to the work of God because I had taken those steps of faith that showed my desire for it. Before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I hadn't felt like I was less of a Christian because I hadn't experienced it, just like I didn't feel like I was less of a Christian before I was baptized with water. What changed was that I took steps that positioned me to say, use me, God, I trust the plan that you have. He's been so faithful in showing how He intervenes on our behalf. He equips me with words of wisdom. He gives me patience and peace when things have been uncertain. There's been this steadfast presence that I've been able to take comfort in, and that continues to show me how to carry out the gospel. These are all things that I can't do on my own. Speaking in tongues has been a way for me to pray to God from the depths of my heart. It allows for greater intimacy in prayer times because I know that He's given me these words so I can express myself fully to Him. So, if you're wondering about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or if you're searching, remember that God doesn't often call us to things that we fully understand. His ways are greater than our ways, and He expects us to walk in faith. He desires to grow in intimacy with you. Don't let your fears be holding you back from the work of God in your life.
That's great. Thanks, Sandy. Awesome. So please hear me on this tonight. My hope in all of this was to provide our community, our gathering, and particularly those who are new to a Spirit-filled expression. My hope was to provide you with a biblical foundation for being filled with the Holy Spirit. And to know that this is a part of a natural walk with Jesus. It's just part of that. It's part of a God-designed forward flow in our spiritual lives. There's no measurement here in terms of those who are or are not that does not exist in this house. This is simply about moving forward in the things that God has for us. Because it's this wonderful gift that we have. As I said earlier, this isn't about rules. This isn't about meeting anybody's expectations. It is only about receiving what it is that God has for us. And that is more. There is more. I said it earlier, and I want to say it again, that our value of spiritual formation here absolutely recognizes that this body is comprised of many who come from a variety of traditions, and that is a great strength for us. And we have deep respect one for the other. And we also have this opportunity to learn from one another. The body of Jesus is amazing. The body of Jesus is amazing. And so our position is simply to invite and to softly encourage faith and exploration in what we believe is a transforming experience for all believers. That's really what our encouragement is tonight. It's about that.